This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass.
Thank you, Macca. Macca, we've been sort of talking about what's occurring in our nation, what's occurring in our state. We've been dissecting politics. And we've actually got an author here this morning. We've got Ben Pobgy, who's going to talk about a book that he's written, and obviously he's done some fairly in-depth and detailed research about what's happening in Australia. Ben, just enlighten us,
what's
please.
Happened?
What the hell is going on? I mean, you know, if I look at the front cover of your book, it starts off with, you know, Captain Cook sailing in right through to the sandpaper incident at the Australian cricket game, you know, when
Put the extra ball
sandpaper down the shorts.
He pulled the sandpaper out of his tracky back decks, as it turned out, and gave a bit of a scratch to the balls. I mean, what? Like
the ball, not the balls.
The ball. You know, I'm not very good with sports. So, Ben, what's happening?
Is this grandstand, I was told? I mean, I you know, the book's Australia, What Happened. I can tell you what happened. I can't tell you what's happening now. It's a demarcation thing. We're a confusing country, and we enjoy lying to ourselves about that fact. I mean, you can only really sum up Australia in a book that is recommended retail price $29.99 from all good bookstores. But it's a thank you, by the way, for noticing all the research I did. Because I did spend, you know, several hours on Wikipedia to write this book.
That's very funny. Because, of course, you are a comedian as well, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I try. Yeah, hopefully it's a funny book. That's the main point of it. But I think there's elements of truth in there. Hard truths, perhaps, that Australia should face up to ourselves about the way we've... wasted some opportunities, about the way we've probably not made this as great a country as it could have been, given the luck we had.
I was at a lunch yesterday with a colleague who was asked recently, while overseas, to present a joke about Australia, and she's not the joking sort of person, and she didn't know what to say, so she did this sort of thing about Australia and its revolving door prime ministers.
Sure.
Now, you cover some of that in your book as well. What's your take on that? Why have we got such a short fuse with our prime ministers and our leaders?
Well, of course, we didn't always have, but political parties have become increasingly panicky over the last, I guess, 10 years. It's become very much the thing that as soon as polls dip downwards...
Get rid of them.
Yeah, they get rid of them. And obviously, you know, it takes a while before they actually get around
to
it.
It's like the reject shop having a sale, isn't it?
It's like, if there's anything wrong, it has to be lit. And that's the thing. We look for very simple solutions. And the simplest solution of all is to sack the leader.
Mm.
And that's... I mean, the thing is, of course, it's a bit like in sport where if a football club is going badly, there's all sorts of reasons.
But it's always the coach, isn't it?
Yeah, because the easiest thing to do is sack the coach.
Yeah.
Any other solution is a lot harder. You can't sack all the players. Going through, you know, detailed analysis of what is actually being done wrong and how you can fix it, that takes time and that takes effort. Sacking the coach is quick and easy. And yet there have been football clubs of late that have had great success by sort of you know, putting their nose to the grindstone and saying, actually, we're not just going to sack the coach. Let's actually try and address the problems. Yeah. Political parties are not at that stage at the moment. They're still at the stage where if something goes wrong, it has to be the leader. But they're getting into trouble, of course, because once the leader is sacked, people start asking,
Why'd you do that?
Yeah, why'd you do that? And how are you different? And they can't say anything about that because they aren't different.
And Ben, given that we are in the middle of a state election today here in Victoria, what are your reflections on the Victorian election and the campaign that's sort of ensued to date, and draw on some of the references from some of your research as well? What's your take?
I think in some ways it's been one of the saner elections I can remember.
Wow.
At least in terms of actual public sentiment. But I think on the opposition side, on the Liberal side, Matthew Guy has been tapping into a great Australian tradition, which is fear, trying to make people as afraid as possible, which goes back a long time. You know, Robert Menzies, the longest serving Prime Minister ever, basically achieved his reign through fear. And in that case, it was fear of communists. And even before that, there was always fear. You know, you can go right back to the gold rush, and there was politicians making great play out of fear of the Chinese. And Matthew Guy, of course, in this election, it's fear of African gangs and crime in general. But I don't think it's striking a chord, and that's why I say this might be one of the saner elections, because Matthew Guy has been desperately trying to stir up fear. I don't think Victorians are very afraid, or at least their fear is certainly not strong enough to overcome the general sense that Labor is actually doing things that benefit people. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think maybe fear is very effective in politics, but only when the people can't see that the other side is doing them any good.
Ben, we've just spoken with the leader of the Greens Party, Samantha Ratnam, and so I'm interested in your analysis of what's occurring with the Greens. I mean, they've been bagged by The Age today, bagged by the Herald Sun. Headline editorial in the Herald Sun is Greens lose their fig leaf.
It's more like a passion fruit bush.
It's actually, I think, one of the most provocative headlines I've ever read, really. It's really sticking the knife in, isn't
it? It's an interesting headline for the Herald Sun, though, because it's not as if the Herald Sun has ever believed anything good about the Greens. So it's not as if the Herald Sun thought there was a fig leaf to begin with. Or rather, the Herald Sun has been telling us for years that the Greens just have a fig leaf covering their essential evil. The Greens are a political party, and there are times when they get criticised for things they do wrong, they react with more shock than other parties do because they didn't realise that people saw them as a political party. They're sort of surprised to suddenly be treated like other ones. At the same time, sometimes they are treated unfairly. I think it's unfortunate that there are sort of serious issues that have gone on regarding, you know, sexual harassment and sexual assault allegations to do with Greens members. I think it's unfortunate that these things do get turned into just excuses for political attacks. I don't believe that Labor and the Liberals really care that much about the people at the centre of these allegations. They're just getting stuck in.
Point scoring.
But the Greens, you know, they should be criticised just like anything else. If a person dislikes what the Greens are doing, they should say so, and the Greens shouldn't ever feel that they are immune. And hope that's how a political party, you know, will get better. If we don't criticise the Greens when we think they've done wrong, just because we think the Greens are the best of a bad bunch, so we have to support them 100%, then the Greens will never be as good as they could be, which is kind of the problem with politics in general, and always has been, that people lock in behind a party or a position or a group because they think this is better than the others, and then they don't brook any criticism of it.
Yeah.
And so even when a party might be the best there is, it doesn't become the best it could be.
Sure.
Or a country in general. That's what Australia is.
Ben, clearly you've had fun writing the book and doing the research.
I had moments, yes.
I can see bits of your personality coming through in the writing style. What's your take out from you know, having, I don't know how long it took you to put this together, but what's your take out from producing this book?
I think my greatest take out is that times change and attitudes change, fashions change, but what is essentially true throughout history is that there is never a point at which the people who are in charge of things and the people who influence history are anything more than ignorant, mistake-prone, often stupid, often greedy people. And we should always remember that as ridiculous as we think our political leaders are now, they were just as ridiculous 100, 200, 300 years ago.
There you go. So nothing's really changed.
Well, not in that sense. Nothing has ever been more worthy of reverence, put it that way.
Yeah. I encourage people, buy it. Australia, What Happened? Google it. Buy it from a good bookstore. I've actually been away, so I haven't actually started reading it yet, but I have just finished Bob Woodward's book on Donald Trump, Fear.
They're very similar.
So there you go. Buy both of those. I've got a recommendation.
Is it available online as well, Ben?
Yes.
Great.
Yep. Yes.
Great.
To read Michelle Obama's book, which I've also ordered. So there you go. Thank you so much, Ben.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for taking the effort to write a book, because I love reading books.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.